And as we do every Saturday morning at this time on CCO Radio, we'll help you keep it running, whatever the case may be. Time for CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here. If you're new to the show, thanks for checking us out. Let me introduce you to ASC certified technician Nick Stoffel, who runs a fun place called, well, it's fun for me. I'm not sure about Nick, because it's a busy place. But it is a fun place. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Nick, good morning. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you also, Denny. I would say it's a fun place for me. We got, as you know, a great staff. That group has been together for so long. It is family, and it's, you know, we finished the year strong, and everyone has got a nice long weekend, which well-deserved, and we'll get back at it next year.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was there about a week or so ago getting some new tires and other work done. I know what I wanted to ask you. I just read a story yesterday and again this morning about a lot of folks in their homes. A lot of pest control companies getting calls because they're seeing more mice. Now, I had that issue with my vehicle with a little critter building a nest in that your technicians finally found in this deep, dark place. Are you guys seeing that? Are your crews seeing that? Do you get that a lot at Lloyd's, that are varmints that build nests in engine compartments and so and such?
Well, there's actually one arrived yesterday with some drivability concerns, and we quickly took a peek and found that there is another signs of a nest, and maybe something was into a wiring harness. You know, I have to think that it's been so mild that, you know, for the most part, usually we see this in the fall, and then by the time we hit the winter, the deep freeze, we don't see much of it anymore. But,
right, yeah.
You know, it's been so mild to this point that it just it seems to have continued longer than typical.
Yeah, I think you're right, and that's what the other folks who are writing these stories are thinking the same because of the mild weather. Speaking of which, and again, at the same time, I had got some new tires, which are great. I didn't get snow tires. I just needed some new all season, and they work just fantastic. But I'm thinking, Nick, about those folks that have gone to Lloyd's or wherever else, and they had their snow tires put on maybe a month ago, and we haven't had any snow. How badly, if at all, would those snow tires be affected, if at all?
Well, my understanding is it's a lot more to do with temperature. It's maybe been mild from our standards, but as far as ambient temperature and road conditions, the asphalt temperature, it's still quite cold. So I wouldn't be worried about premature wear or any kind of abnormal wear to those snow tires. You know, it's been in the 30s and 40s, and the pavement is just as cold. Where the summer months, when we had that, you know, July sun, that pavement gets over 100 degrees. Well, that's a different situation where that might cause those tires to wear faster than we'd like. So if you have snow tires, rest assured, you'll be fine. It's not hurting them. And if you go and switch them off, we're definitely going to get some snow, so keep it going.
Of course. Yeah, Murphy's Law. By the way, if you have any kind of a car care question, don't wait. We'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text right now, because Nick will take his leave in about 30 minutes, so I know our time is limited. So call us or text us with any kind of a car care question you may have, 651-461-9226. Here's one that came in just a bit ago, Nick. Good morning. It says, I have a 2023 Chevy Trailblazer. Had the tires rotated with an oil change recently, and the tire display order on the dash is not the same now as before the rotation. Shouldn't it change to reflect the correct order even after rotating them? Can it be reset or adjusted somehow? I'm not sure what they mean here.
So most vehicles use a tire pressure sensor, which is mounted into each wheel.
Yeah.
If you rotate the tires, the vehicle will no longer know the position of each wheel. So if your vehicle says on the display, driver's front, passenger front, and rear, and tells you the pressures, if you move those tires around, it might then confuse the vehicle. So there is a reset procedure, a relearn procedure to identify each position on the vehicle with the computer on the vehicle, so it knows which tire is in which position. So if one gets low, you're adding air to the correct tire.
So is every car, those that have that particular function, how do you reset it? How do you reset that computer? Does a technician need to do that?
It depends on the make. Sometimes we have a little tool that we use at the shop that'll ping them, and then the car will follow up with a honk, and it'll kind of follow the way around the vehicle. Sometimes in the dash, there's controls that can do it. Some vehicles, they actually use the wheel speed sensors to determine the pressures, and you don't have to do anything. So each vehicle is a little different. As always, we always tell people, go to the owner's manual or go online and research that, and it'll tell you how your vehicle's. Each vehicle is a little different. As always, we always tell people, go to the owner's manual or go online and research that, and it'll tell you how your vehicle's designed. But it's not a big deal. I mean, this particular case, maybe they were busy and they forgot to do the reset. So you can go back to those folks and they'll be able to quickly reset that for you and get you tire positions in their correct position.
Excellent. 651-461-9226. Looks like we're getting some maintenance type of questions this morning. Nick, anything, any kind of a car care question is great. If you have to bring in your vehicle for service at your favorite dealer, your favorite shop, and you want to kind of know what's going on, we'd love to hear from you. Nick will kind of give you a little analysis over the phone, little diagnostics. Let's grab a phone call. Gene calling in, I do believe, from Mound, Minnesota this morning. Gene, thank you. What is your question for Nick?
Good morning, guys. Nick, I've got a 05 Colorado, and I was successfully tracking down a parasitic battery draw by pulling all the fuses one at a time, and I fixed it. But it went, by pulling those fuses, it went into pass lock mode, anti-theft mode. How do I get it out?
Well, you know, if the vehicle's in a theft mode, I would think using the key, quite initializing the vehicle. If you can't use the key to reset or, you know, lock and lock the vehicle to get it out of a security mode, I would go back to see which fuses you're pulling. Maybe one of those modules is locked up, not allowing the car to communicate with itself. So therefore, if it doesn't see one of the many modules in the circle, it might just be locked up. So you might have to kind of go back, figure out which fuses you pulled, sequence, see what's related to different modules and how that might be affecting it. You know, it's a little deep. You might need a wiring diagram, which you could probably find online. But if the car, if cycling the key or the fob isn't going to unlock that vehicle where you can restart it, I would think that there's something a little bit deeper going on there.
Okay. All right, thanks, Gene. Appreciate that. We'll clear the lines. And if you have a car care question, you want to call it in, great. If you want to text it in, that's fine, too. We are picking up on more texts, Nick, as we speak here. Let me give you the number for either the phone call or the text as we head to the break. 651-461-9226. 29 degrees in the Twin Cities. Could get a few snow flurries today. A little better chance overnight tonight. How much? Probably less than half an inch or so by the time it's all over. But New Year's Eve tomorrow night should be clear sailing, about 20 for an overnight low. But be safe out there. Right now, 29 degrees on 830. This is WCCO. Happy New Year from all of us here at 830 WCCO. Good morning. We are in the midst on this final Saturday of the year of our car care show. Denny Long on this end with ASE certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, again, for those folks that might need some assistance at Lloyd's, how do we find you guys there?
Yeah, so after the long weekend, come Tuesday, we'll be back at work. If you ever have a question or concern or looking for a little advice, feel free to give us a call. Our number is 651-228-1316. If you happen to be on Grand Avenue, pop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand, which is the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And then finally, if you're at home, which we all are for the long weekend, check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Excellent. We will give you that info when Nick takes his leave, which is about 7:45 or so this morning. Any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. Here's a question that we like to talk about from time to time over the years, Nick. The texter says, I have a 2017 Ford Fiesta, 210,000 miles on it. I have always followed all of the manufacturer's suggested maintenance intervals, oil changes, tire rotations. How many miles have you guys seen on a vehicle last? How many miles if a car owner does follow all of the manufacturer's suggested maintenance intervals? We talk about this from time to time, and I know when listeners would call in, we can't verify that, of course, but you've seen, you and your crew there have seen a lot of high mileage vehicles, haven't you?
What's funny is what we used to consider high mileage is now, you know, we kind of joke about just breaking in.
That's right.
You know, every car honestly should get a couple hundred thousand miles. If it's maintained, you can get many more. I want to say, I can't remember exact miles, but we did have I can't remember what it was, but it was like 534,000 miles on it, which my first thought was, I'm sure the vehicle's fine, but the poor person driving the vehicle, I can't imagine being in the car that long.
Yeah, we have had listeners call up and say, well, I had a million miles, and we can't verify that. But yeah, you're right, because the newer cars, and I say newer over the last 20 years or so, I mean, I don't at least, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't see as many rusted out cars as I used to. Am I correct on that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I started at a service station working actually for our friend Dan Burns back in the early 90s, and the cars weren't that old, and they were rusty, and they'd have, you know, 50, 60, 70,000 miles on them, and they'd be leaking oil, and it was just amazing how much has changed. And it's been a long time now, but the cars now, I mean, you see a car, it's a 20-year-old vehicle, and you have to remember it's been 20 years, and it's hard to imagine that they're still, you know, if they've been washed and taken care of, obviously you have to participate in that, but you know, they can still, you know, they're not new, but man, they have many, many miles and many years left in them.
Yeah. A lot of fun. 651-461-9226. Here's another text, Nick. Good morning. We have a 2005 Chevy Malibu that when we fill the gas tank full, the check engine light comes on. And with that, the auto car starter doesn't work. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a problem. We're not overfilling it. We just fill it until the pump stops. What do you think?
Well, you know, I'm assuming, which is a dangerous thing, something related to the evaporative system. The evaporative system is designed to collect those fuel vapors and allow the engine to consume or burn them as we drive. So something with one of those solenoids or those valves is not working properly, you fill it up to the normal amount, like they said, but for some reason those fuel vapors are making their way the wrong way, and the car's sensors don't like that, which is going to flag the check engine light. And yes, the auto start options won't work when your check engine light is on, which is good. So we fix these check engine lights, but it's frustrating for the car owner on a cold morning when you can't get the car going. So I would think take it into your shop. They'll be able to retrieve the code, which part of the evap system it's related to, go to that area, do some testing, and make a recommendation. So not all is lost.
All right, very good. If you want to call in your question instead of text, that's fine, 651-461-9226. Speaking of which, let's grab a phone call. David calling in from Plymouth this morning. David, thank you. What is your question for Nick?
I've got a 2017 Subaru Outback with only about 50,000 miles, and when it's cold, put it in reverse first thing in the morning out of the garage, it stalls. And took it into the dealership last March, and they ran all sorts of diagnostics. And luckily, it was cold enough, they got it to replicate. So we replaced the spark plugs, the fuel injectors, and did like a carbon clean. And, of course, then everything was fine during the summer. Now that it's getting cold again, same thing is happening. And any ideas on why that first reverse out of the garage, and I'm getting a stall?
No, I mean, you know, these are the fun ones, and this is why we do what we do, because we like the challenge. You know, the hard part is it's the first time in the morning, so you get one shot on the right day for it to happen. You know, I like the fact that they clean the fuels or the valves, because a lot of times if there's intake valves all gummed up, maybe it could cause it to confuse the computer for a moment and stall. I start to wonder about things like maybe a mass airflow sensor or something on the initial start when the vehicle may or may not be an open or closed loop, which is how the car manages the fuel strategies and the idle strategies and the emissions systems. Something's happening in that change. You know, you're going from not running to running, and in a few moments it's going to want to get in the closed loop and it's stalling. So the throttle, you know, believe it or not, something with the throttle body or throttle position sensor, a mass airflow sensor, you know, the truth of it is, like they had, we'd want to see it. We'd want to have a scan tool on it. We'd like to try to collect some data, hopefully replicate it. And if it we replicate it, we get some good data. Hopefully one of those sensors or readings is out of line, and then we can kind of dig deeper from there. But that's one of those frustrating cars that, you know, it hopefully happens every morning or every time you back up, but you can't promise it. So, you know, I would contact the dealer, share the whole story, you know, get it back to them, you know, have them do their testing. They have all they need to do it, and hopefully they can replicate it again, collect some more data, take another shot at it. And I'm sorry it's frustrating, but this does happen from time to time. And if you stick with them and they stick with it, they'll get to the bottom of it.
All right, good news. All right, Nick, hang on. We're going to take a break for weather, see what the New Year forecast calls for. We have a few more minutes of our Car Care Show to go. 651-461-9226. Back with more here on 830 WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We are here every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour. Right after the 7 o'clock news break, Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive, ASE certified technician, answering those car care questions you might have this morning. We still have time for yours. Nick will take his leave about 7:45 or so. So we have a few minutes to go. Nick, I don't know if I want to do the cleaning up of this one, but interesting text from Rick. Texting in from Laguna Vista, Texas this morning. Rick says, good morning, gentlemen. I found a way to get rid of mice by accident. I left a red plastic coffee can sitting inside my big shop that was three-quarters full of oil from an oil change from the lawnmower that next spring I went to use to the oil to burn a stump. There were six dead mice in it. They crawled in there. They get stuck in the oil. They sink to the bottom. There's no dead mouse smell. And thank you, Rick. I don't know if I want that cleanup job, as a matter of fact.
No, there's – I'll leave that one to him. yeah. You know, you start looking online, you'll find all kinds of creative ways and caution yourself which path you want to go down. But, you know, you find those different types of traps which are effective. You know, sometimes you hear – in your vehicle, in the glove box, areas where the cabin filter is, you can put those fabric softener sheets in there. There's other products out there. So I think if you get all the food sources out of your garage or whatever you're near your vehicle and you do your best to keep things clean and, you know, use some of those products, that it's about as fighting chances you're going to get.
Yeah, and I, judging from what happened to my car here in the last couple of weeks, I wish the manufacturers, some scientists, would find a way to wrap all those wires, harnesses, whatnot, in some kind of material that these critters can't chew through. But then again, it might be difficult for your technicians to work on, too. I don't know. It might be a trade-off. But anyway, somebody will invent something, I hope, someday. Here is another text. Let's see what time. Yeah, we do have time. Good morning, texter says. I have a 2019 Kia Sorento 2.4, 31,000 miles on it. I was told the alternator went out after having the battery checked out. Is this unusual for this low mileage of a car?
Yeah, something doesn't – the test in the battery shouldn't by damage or hurt the alternator in any way. So I don't know who did the test or the procedure. You wonder if some wires got crossed or any kind of test shouldn't damage the component of the system you're testing. So I would maybe ask a few more questions, get a little better explanation. You know, mileage in years is always tough on vehicles because it depends on the vehicle's habitat or the environment that it operates and lives in. You know, vehicles that are oftentimes in a climate-controlled garage and it's only on highway roads, they seem to go forever, where if you're on a dusty gravel road and you have stop and go and you're pulling stuff, maybe it's a shorter life. So I can't speak for what you should expect on that front, but doing the test shouldn't cause a component to fail. So I'd probably ask a few more questions on that one.
Okay. Let's see, do we have time? Yes. Pam from Granite Falls just sent a text saying, we purchased a 2006 Lincoln Town Car from a private party with around 117,000 miles on it now. The passenger side airbag light is on, saying it is off. Also, a loud beeping sound starts soon after starting the car, sure because of that. What's involved fixing that problem? What do you think?
Well, I guess the question is, that light is on because they don't want the air brake to deploy if there's not somebody in the passenger seat or somebody the right weight, which means that there's a sensor or scale in that seat. So if that light says airbag off, always, even if somebody's sitting there, there's something wrong with that sensor or that scale in that seat. If it's beeping at you, into the same question, because that's likely related to the seatbelt. So if it thinks that somebody's sitting or not sitting and they're not wearing the seatbelt, the car's reminding audible beep is going to be annoying you. So I would say if what I'm hearing is no matter who's in the car, says it's off and it's always beeping, then we should probably have somebody take a look to figure out where that fault is, because you want that airbag system working in the event of an accident, and you don't want the car to not operate as it should.
If I'm getting what you're saying, and I think I've seen it in my vehicles, is that if there's no passenger in as you're driving, there's no that light correctly would say off, right? When there's no one.
Correct.
There.
And then we'll, yeah. And then if there's a small child or your purse, it's still going to say off. Once you hit a certain threshold of weight, or if it's me, I'm big enough, it's going to hopefully switch to where it's not going to have the light lit any longer, and then in the event of an accident, that system work as designed.
But for Pam's sake here, if there is an issue here, if someone is heavy enough and there is a passenger and it still says that, is that a tough problem to correct, to locate and correct?
Well, you know, it's old enough that I hope that, you know, there's underneath the seat, there's a connector, the seat's on rails to go forward and backwards. We hope that maybe something with the connector or the connections or contacts needs to be repaired or cleaned. That does happen, and that's the most economical. If there's something wrong with the seat itself, that can be a little bit complicated and difficult. We do see that, unfortunately, because sometimes people put things on their passenger seat and they spill. You get coffee or soda or whatever into that fabric of the seat, it's going to soak into that sensor. Also, we see similar problems with heated seats where that heated seat on the passenger side doesn't work because somebody spilled something in it. So it may or may not. Don't assume the worst. Have somebody look at it, figure out what is going on, and then you have a better plan on a repair.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Pam. Appreciate the text. We've got time, I think, for maybe one more, and maybe we can just kind of add to this. The listener wants to know, as far as checking oil, should belts be checked at the oil change? Why don't you tell us what you and your crews do when somebody comes in for an oil change? What else do you do besides change the oil and filter?
You know, we always like to use, you know, safety first, so. Obviously tires or all the lights working. We check all the fluids, look for any leaks, a shakedown, make sure that the steering and suspension components are tight and working as they should. If there's any lubrication points, greasers as we call them, we lubricate them. So it's kind of it's a walkthrough, right? You have the vehicle up in the air, you go from front to the rear vehicle, look at all those systems and components, you know, visually, you know, you lower the vehicle halfway down and then you're checking tire pressures, tire treads. You're peeking through the wheel if you can to take a peek at the brakes. You're looking at all the lights, all four corners, get the vehicle back to the ground. Now you're under the hood. As you're filling the oil, you're checking, you know, the air filter and all the belts and hose, looking for any obvious leak. You know, it's not a diagnostic process for sure, but it's a very thorough inspection because the last thing I want to have in a shop is you come in for service. On your way home, you get stopped because you got a tail light out. Or you wake up in the morning, you flat tire, which could happen. But we want to try to prevent any of those type of situations to ensure our customers are happy and on their way to wherever they might be going.
Yeah, it makes everybody covers their tail for sure. Nick, we're just about out of time. Let's for those folks that do need your help, well, we're going to have more show next week, of course. Any leftover texts or calls, of course, we'll try to pick up on those next week. Nick, for those that need some help from Lloyd's Automotive, I know you're closed for the holiday, but when you guys do open up, how do we get in touch?
Yeah, feel free to call with any question or advice. We don't mind. Our number is 651-228-1316. And if you're in St. Paul, we're two blocks east of Lexington Parkway on Grand at 982 Grand. Like I said before, you have a nice long weekend. Check out our website if you have time, LloydsAutomotive.net.
Excellent. Nick, come on back in the new year, next year, if you will, and we'll do another show in a bit. In the meantime, please wish your great crew there and all the staff up in front and your family as well a very happy new year, and may it be a prosperous one.
Thank you very much, Denny.
All right. Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Jack Farrell's Wine Chat will be straight ahead here on 830 WCCO. And as we do every Saturday morning at this time on CCO Radio, we'll help you keep it running, whatever the case may be. Time for CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here. If you're new to the show, thanks for checking us out. Let me introduce you to ASC Certified Technician Nick Stauffel, who runs a fun place called, well, it's fun for me. I'm not sure about Nick, because it's a busy place. But it is a fun place. Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Nick, good morning. Happy New Year.
Hey, happy new year to you also, Denny. And I would say it's a fun place for me. We got, as you know, a great staff. That group has been together for so long. It's it is family, and it's you know, we finished the year strong, and everyone has got a nice long weekend, which well deserved, and we'll get back at it next year.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was there about a week or so ago getting some new tires and other work done. I know what I wanted to ask you. I just read a story yesterday, and again this morning, about a lot of folks in their homes, a lot of pest control companies getting calls because they're seeing more mice. Now, I had that issue with my vehicle, with a little critter building a nest in that your technicians finally found in this deep, dark place. Are you guys seeing that? Are your crews seeing that? Do you get that a lot at Lloyd's, that are varmints that build nests in engine compartments and so and such?
Well, there's actually one arrived yesterday with some drivability concerns, and we quickly took a peek and found that there is another signs of a nest, and maybe something was into a wiring harness. You know, I have to think that it's been so mild that, you know, for the most part, usually we see this in the fall, and then by the time we hit the winter, the deep freeze, we don't see much of it anymore. But
right, yeah.
You know, it's been so mild to this point that it just it seems to have continued longer than typical.
Yeah, I think you're right, and that's what the other folks who are writing these stories are thinking the same, because of the mild weather. Speaking of which, and again at the same time, I had got some new tires, which are great. I didn't get snow tires. I just needed some new all season, and they work just fantastic. But I'm thinking, Nick, about those folks that have gone to Lloyd's or wherever else, and they had their snow tires put on maybe a month ago, and we haven't had any snow. How badly, if at all, would those snow tires be affected, if at all?
Well, my understanding is it's a lot more to do with temperature. It's maybe been mild from our standards, but as far as ambient temperature and road conditions, the asphalt temperature, it's still quite cold. So I wouldn't be worried about premature wear or any kind of abnormal wear to those snow tires. You know, it's been in the 30s and 40s, and the pavement is just as cold. Where the summer months, when we had that, you know, July sun, that pavement gets over 100 degrees. Well, that's a different situation where that might cause those tires to wear faster than we'd like. So if you have snow tires, rest assured you'll be fine. It's not hurting them. And if you go and switch them off, we're definitely going to get some snow, so keep it going.
Of course. Yeah, Murphy's Law. By the way, if you have any kind of a car care question, don't wait. We'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text right now, because Nick will take his leave in about 30 minutes, so I know our time is limited. So call us or text us with any kind of a car care question you may have, 651-461-9226. Here's one that came in just a bit ago, Nick. Good morning. It says, I have a 2023 Chevy Trailblazer. Had the tires rotated with an oil change recently, and the tire display order on the dash is not the same now as before the rotation. Shouldn't it change to reflect the correct order even after rotating them? Can it be reset or adjusted somehow? I'm not sure what they mean here.
So each most tires, most vehicles use a tire pressure sensor, which is mounted into each wheel.
Yeah.
If you rotate the tires, the vehicle will no longer lose the position of each wheel. So if your vehicle says on the display, driver's front, passenger front, and rear, and tells you the pressures, if you move those tires around, it might then confuse the vehicle. So there is a reset procedure, a relearn procedure to identify each position on the vehicle with the computer on the vehicle so it knows which tire is in which position. So if one gets low, you're adding air to the correct tire.
So is every car, those that have that particular function, how do you reset it? How do you reset that computer? Does a technician need to do that?
It depends on the make. Sometimes we have a little tool that we use at the shop that'll ping them, and then the car will follow up with a honk, and it'll kind of follow the way around the vehicle. Sometimes in the dash, there's controls that can do it. Some vehicles, they actually use the wheel speed sensors to determine the pressures, and you don't have to do anything. So each vehicle is a little different. As always, we always tell people, go to the owner's manual or go online and research that, and it'll tell you how your vehicle's. Each vehicle is a little different. As always, we always tell people, go to the owner's manual or go online and research that, and it'll tell you how your vehicle's designed. But it's not a big deal. I mean, this particular case, maybe they were busy and they forgot to do the reset. So you can go back to those folks, and they'll be able to quickly reset that for you and get you tire positions in their correct position.
Excellent. 651-461-9226. Looks like we're getting some maintenance type of questions this morning, Nick. Anything, any kind of a car care question is great. If you have to bring in your vehicle for service at your favorite dealer, your favorite shop, and you want to kind of know what's going on, we'd love to hear from you. Nick will kind of give you a little analysis over the phone, little diagnostics. Let's grab a phone call. Gene calling in, I do believe, from Mound, Minnesota this morning. Gene, thank you. What is your question for Nick?
Good morning, guys. Nick, I've got a 05 Colorado, and I was successfully tracking down a parasitic battery draw by pulling all the fuses one at a time, and I fixed it. But it went, by pulling those fuses, it went into pass lock mode, anti-theft mode. How do I get it out?
Well, you know, if the vehicle's in a theft mode, I would think using the key, quite initializing the vehicle. If you can't use the key to reset or, you know, lock and lock the vehicle to get it out of a security mode, I would go back to see which fuses you're pulling. Maybe one of those modules is locked up, not allowing the car to communicate with itself. So therefore, if it doesn't see one of the many modules in the circle, it might just be locked up. So you might have to kind of go back, figure out which fuses you pulled, sequence, see what's related to different modules and how that might be affecting it. You know, it's a little deep. You might need a wiring diagram, which you could probably find online. But if the car, if cycling the key or the fob isn't going to unlock that vehicle where you can restart it, I would think that there's something a little bit deeper going on there.
Okay. All right, thanks, Gene. Appreciate that. We'll clear the lines. And if you have a car care question, you want to call it in, great. If you want to text it in, that's fine, too. We are picking up on more texts, Nick, as we speak here. Let me give you the number for either the phone call or the text as we head to the break. 651-461-9226. 29 degrees in the Twin Cities. Could get a few snow flurries today. A little better chance overnight tonight. How much? Probably less than half an inch or so by the time it's all over. But New Year's Eve tomorrow night should be clear sailing, about 20 for an overnight low. But be safe out there. Right now, 29 degrees on 830. This is WCCO. Happy New Year from all of us here at 830 WCCO. Good morning. We are in the midst on this final Saturday of the year of our car care show. Denny Long on this end with ASE certified technician Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, again, for those folks that might need some assistance at Lloyd's, how do we find you guys there?
Yeah, so after the long weekend, come Tuesday, we'll be back at work. If you ever have a question or concern or looking for a little advice, feel free to give us a call. Our number is 651-228-1316. If you happen to be on Grand Avenue, pop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand, which is the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And then finally, if you're at home, which we all are for the long weekend, check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Excellent. We will give you that info when Nick takes his leave, which is about 7:45 or so this morning. Any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. Here's a question that we like to talk about from time to time over the years, Nick. The texter says, I have a 2017 Ford Fiesta, 210,000 miles on it. I have always followed all of the manufacturer's suggested maintenance intervals, oil changes, tire rotations. How many miles have you guys seen on a vehicle last? How many miles if a car owner does follow all of the manufacturer's suggested maintenance intervals? We talk about this from time to time, and I know when listeners would call in, we can't verify that, of course, but you've seen, you and your crew there have seen a lot of high mileage vehicles, haven't you?
What's funny is what we used to consider high mileage is now, you know, we kind of joke about just breaking in.
That's right.
You know, every car honestly should get a couple hundred thousand miles. If it's maintained, you can get many more. I want to say, I can't remember the exact miles, but we did have a, I can't remember what it was, but it was like 534,000 miles on it, which my first thought was, I'm sure the vehicle's fine, but the poor person driving the vehicle, I can't imagine being in the car that long.
Yeah, it's, and again, we have had listeners call up and say, well, I had a million miles, and we can't verify that. But yeah, you're right, because the newer cars, and I say newer over the last 20 years or so, I mean, I don't at least, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't see as many rusted out cars as I used to. Am I correct on that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I started at a service station working actually for our friend Dan Burns back in the early 90s, and the cars weren't that old, and they were rusty, and they'd have, you know, 50, 60, 70,000 miles on them, and they'd be leaking oil, and it was just amazing how much has changed. And it's been a long time now, but the cars now, I mean, you see a car, it's a 20-year-old vehicle, and you have to remember it's been 20 years, and it's hard to imagine that they're still, you know, if they've been washed and taken care of, obviously you have to participate in that, but you know, they can still, you know, they're not new, but man, they have many, many miles and many years left in them.
Yeah. A lot of fun. 651-461-9226. Here's another text, Nick. Good morning. We have a 2005 Chevy Malibu that when we fill the gas tank full, the check engine light comes on. And with that, the auto car starter doesn't work. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a problem. We're not overfilling it. We just fill it until the pump stops. What do you think?
Well, I'm assuming, which is a dangerous thing, something related to the evaporative system. The evaporative system is designed to collect those fuel vapors and allow the engine to consume or burn them as we drive. So something with one of those solenoids or those valves is not working properly, you fill it up to the normal amount, like they said, but for some reason those fuel vapors are making their way the wrong way, and the car's sensors don't like that, which is going to flag the check engine light. And yes, the auto start options won't work when your check engine light is on, which is good. So we fix these check engine lights, but it's frustrating for the car owner on a cold morning when you can't get the car going. So I would think take it into your shop. They'll be able to retrieve the code, which part of the evap system it's related to, go to that area, do some testing, and make your recommendation. So not all is lost.
All right, very good. If you want to call in your question instead of text, that's fine, 651-461-9226. Speaking of which, let's grab a phone call. David calling in from Plymouth this morning. David, thank you. What is your question for Nick?
I've got a 2017 Subaru Outback with only about 50,000 miles, and when it's cold, put it in reverse first thing in the morning out of the garage, it stalls. And took it into the dealership last March, and they ran all sorts of diagnostics. And luckily, it was cold enough, they got it to replicate. So replaced the spark plugs, the fuel injectors, and did like a carbon clean. And, of course, then everything was fine during the summer. Now that it's getting cold again, same thing is happening. And any ideas on why that first reverse out of the garage, and I'm getting a stall?
No, I mean, you know, these are the fun ones, and this is why we do what we do, because we like the challenge. You know, the hard part is it's the first time in the morning, so you get one shot on the right day for it to happen. You know, I like the fact that they clean the fuels or the valves, because a lot of times if there's intake valves all gummed up, maybe it could cause it to confuse the computer for a moment and stall. I start to wonder about things like maybe a mass airflow sensor or something on the initial start when the vehicle may or may not be an open or closed loop, which is how the car manages the fuel strategies and the idle strategies and the emissions systems. Something's happening in that change. You know, you're going from not running to running, and in a few moments it's going to want to get into closed loop and it's stalling. So the throttle, you know, believe it or not, something with the throttle body or throttle position sensor, a mass airflow sensor. You know, the truth of it is, like they had, we'd want to see it. We'd want to have a scan tool on it. We'd like to try to collect some data, hopefully replicate it. And if we replicate it, we get some good data. Hopefully one of those sensors or readings is out of line, and then we can kind of dig deeper from there. But that's one of those frustrating cars that, you know, it hopefully happens every morning or every time you back up, but you can't promise it. So, you know, I would contact the dealer, share the whole story, you know, get it back to them, you know, have them do their testing. They have all they have to do it, and hopefully they can replicate it again, collect some more data, take another shot at it. And I'm sorry it's frustrating, but this does happen from time to time. And if you stick with them and they stick with it, they'll get to the bottom of it.
All right, good news. All right, Nick, hang on. We're going to take a break for weather, see what the New Year forecast calls for. We have a few more minutes of our Car Care Show to go. 651-461-9226. Back with more here on 830 WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We are here every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour, right after the 7 o'clock news break. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive, ASE certified technician, answering those car care questions you might have this morning. We still have time for yours. Nick will take his leave about 7:45 or so. So we have a few minutes to go. Nick, interest, I don't know if I want to do the cleaning up of this one, but interesting text from Rick. Texting in from Laguna Vista, Texas this morning. Rick says, good morning, gentlemen. I found a way to get rid of mice by accident. I left a red plastic coffee can sitting inside my big shop that was three-quarters full of oil from an oil change from the lawnmower that next spring I went to use to the oil to burn a stump. There were six dead mice in it. They crawled in there. They get stuck in the oil. They sink to the bottom. There's no dead mouse smell. And thank you, Rick. I don't know if I want that cleanup job, as a matter of fact.
No, no, there's – I'll leave that one to him. It, yeah. You know, you start looking online, you'll find all kinds of creative ways and caution yourself which path you want to go down. But, you know, you find those different types of traps which are effective. You know, sometimes you hear – in your vehicle, in the glove box, areas where the cabin filter is, you can put those fabric softener sheets in there. There's other products out there. So I think if you get all the food sources out of your garage or whatever you're near your vehicle and you do your best to keep things clean and, you know, use some of those products, that it's about as fighting chances you're going to get.
Yeah, and I, judging from what happened to my car here in the last couple of weeks, I wish the manufacturers, some scientists, would find a way to wrap all those wires, harnesses, whatnot, in some kind of material that these critters can't chew through. But then again, it might be difficult for your technicians to work on, too. I don't know. It might be a trade-off. But anyway, somebody will invent something, I hope, someday. Here is another text. Let's see what time. Yeah, we do have time. Good morning, texter says. I have a 2019 Kia Sorento 2.4, 31,000 miles on it. I was told the alternator went out after having the battery checked out. Is this unusual for this low mileage of a car?
Yeah, something doesn't – the test in the battery shouldn't, by damage or hurt the alternator in any way. So I don't know who did the test or the procedure. You wonder if something wires got crossed or any kind of test shouldn't damage the component of the system you're testing. So I would maybe ask a few more questions, get a little better explanation. You know, mileage in years is always tough on vehicles because it depends on the vehicle's habitat or the environment that it operates and lives in. You know, vehicles that are oftentimes in a climate-controlled garage and it's only on highway roads, they seem to go forever, where if you're on a dusty gravel road and you have stop and go and you're pulling stuff, maybe it's a shorter life. So I can't speak for what you should expect on that front, but doing the test shouldn't cause a component to fail. So I'd probably ask a few more questions on that one.
Okay. Let's see, do we have time? Yes. Pam from Granite Falls just sent a text saying, we purchased a 2006 Lincoln Town Car from a private party with around 117,000 miles on it now. The passenger side airbag light is on, saying it is off. Also, a loud beeping sound starts soon after starting the car, sure because of that. What's involved fixing that problem? What do you think?
Well, I guess the question is, that light is on because they don't want the air brake to deploy if there's not somebody in the passenger seat or somebody the right weight, which means that there's a sensor or scale in that seat. So if that light says airbag off, always, even if somebody's sitting there, there's something wrong with that sensor or that scale in that seat. If it's beeping at you, into the same question, because that's likely related to the seatbelt. So if it thinks that somebody's sitting or not sitting and they're not wearing the seatbelt, the car's reminding audible beep is going to be annoying you. So I would say if what I'm hearing is no matter who's in the car says it's off and it's always beeping, then we should probably have somebody take a look to figure out where that fault is, because you want that airbag system working in the event of an accident and you don't want the car to not operate as it should.
If I'm getting what you're saying, and I think I've seen it in my vehicles, is that if there's no passenger in as you're driving, there's no that light correctly would say off, right? When there's no one.
Correct.
There.
And then we'll, yeah. And then if there's a small child or your purse, it's still going to say off. Once you hit a certain threshold of weight, or if it's me, I'm big enough, it's going to hopefully switch to where it's not going to have the light lit any longer, and then the event of an accident, that a system work as designed.
But for Pam's sake here, if there is an issue here, if someone is heavy enough and there is a passenger and it still says that, is that a tough problem to correct, to locate and correct?
Well, you know, it's old enough that I hope that, you know, there's underneath the seat, there's a connector, the seat's on rails to go forward and backwards. We hope that maybe something with the connector or the connections or contacts needs to be repaired or cleaned. That does happen, and that's the most economical. If there's something wrong with the seat itself, that can be a little bit complicated and difficult. We do see that, unfortunately, because sometimes people put things on their passenger seat and they spill. Now you get coffee or soda or whatever into that fabric of the seat, it's going to soak into that sensor. Also, we see similar problems with heated seats, where that heated seat on the passenger side doesn't work because somebody spilled something in it. So it may or may not. Don't assume the worst. Have somebody look at it, figure out what is going on, and then you have a better plan on a repair.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Pam. Appreciate the text. We've got time, I think, for maybe one more, and maybe we can just kind of add to this. The listener wants to know, as far as checking oil, should belts be checked at the oil change? Why don't you tell us what you and your crews do when somebody comes in for an oil change? What else do you do besides change the oil and filter?
You know, we always like to use, you know, safety first. So obviously tires, are all the lights working? We check all the fluids, look for any leaks. A shakedown, make sure that the steering and suspension components are tight and working as they should. If there's any lubrication points, greaseworks as we call them, we lubricate them. So it's kind of it's a walkthrough, right? You have the vehicle up in the air, you go from front to the rear vehicle, look at all those systems and components, you know, visually. You know, you lower the vehicle halfway down, and then you're checking tire pressures, tire treads. You're peeking through the wheel if you can to take a peek at the brakes. You're looking at all the lights, all four corners. Get the vehicle back to the ground. Now you're under the hood. as you're filling the oil, you're checking, you know, the air filter and all the belts and hose, looking for any obvious leak. You know, it's not a diagnostic process for sure, but it's a very thorough inspection, because the last thing I want to have in a shop is you come in for service, on your way home, you get stopped because you got a tail light out, or you wake up in the morning, you flat tire, which could happen, but we want to try to prevent any of those type of situations to ensure our customers are happy and on their way to wherever they might be going.
Yeah, it makes everybody covers their tail for sure. Nick, we're just about out of time. Let's for those folks that do need your help, well, we're going to have more show next week, of course. Any leftover texts or calls, of course, we'll try to pick up on those next week. Nick, for those that need some help from Lloyd's Automotive, I know you're closed for the holiday, but when you guys do open up, how do we get in touch?
Yeah, feel free to call with any question or advice. We don't mind. Our number is 651-228-1316. And if you're in St. Paul, we're two blocks east of Lexington Parkway on Grand at 982 Grand. Like I said before, you have a nice long weekend. Check out our website if you have time, lloydsautomotive.net.
Excellent. Nick, come on back in the new year, next year, if you will, and we'll do another show in a bit. In the meantime, please wish your great crew there and all the staff up in front and your family as well a very happy new year, and may it be a prosperous one.
Thank you very much, Denny.
All right. Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Jack Farrell's Wine Chat will be straight ahead here on 830 WCCO.